Now, if you take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6, and just try and keep in your mind what you just saw. If you can wrap your head about what I'm going to teach you today, it'll help you throughout your entire life. We looked at spiritual warfare beginning last week. Now, this week I'd like to go a little deeper into it. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 12, the scripture says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are involved in a wrestling contest. And in the olden days, when this was written, wrestling would be where two opponents would come against each other, and one would endeavor to throw down the other, and then he would take his hand or his foot and put it on his neck to make him submit. That's how the winner of the contest would be determined. So the scripture says we do wrestle, we do fight, but it says not with flesh and blood. Our fight is not with flesh and blood. You see, you can see flesh and blood. You can see a person, an individual. You understand? Our fight is not with flesh and blood. Our fight is with the unseen spiritual forces of evil. Now, the Bible has supplied us with a valuable piece of information, and hardly anybody believes it. The man of the senses has been so convinced by the information he receives through what he sees, what he hears, what he smells, tastes, and touches, that he seldom thinks further than his experiences. The senses man is so accustomed to walking by the flesh that he seldom gives things a second thought once he sees them. We are born body and soul. That's how we're born. And until we accept Jesus Christ, we are not in a position to understand or accept spiritual matters. The Bible refers to the man of body and soul as the natural man or the carnal man. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're looking at this man of body and soul, the natural man or the carnal man. Now, everyone that is ever born is born a natural man or a carnal man. But everyone that is ever born does not receive the privilege or does not accept the privilege to be born again. You understand? To be born again is by your choice. But when you're born the first time, you have no choice in the matter. You are born as body and soul. This is the way you come into the world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, we read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." But the natural man, the word natural, the German word for natural, in the original sense of the word, means nothing more than animal life. It's animal life. It's the life that animates animals as well as the life that animates human beings. It's soul life, the man of body and soul. The natural man receiveth not. Those words mean he does not accept. He rejects or he refuses to accept the things of the Spirit of God. Did you see how the captain came in at the end and he was trying to tell him what happened? And he said, sure. He couldn't believe it. He is not capable of accepting things that you can't see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. Go to Romans chapter 8, please. In Romans chapter 8, and in verse 5, the scripture says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." Do mind. Those words, "do mind" in our English, come from the Greek word, which is in the present active indicative. Actually, it's the present active indicative of the word phroneo. It means to be of the same mind, but it's a present active. It's in the present. It's something continuing on. To be of the same mind, or to agree together. To cherish the same views. Those that are of the flesh are of the same mind of the flesh. They agree with the flesh. They cherish the same views of the flesh. They are harmonious with what the flesh presents as truth. Verse 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." The carnal mind is hostile. It's hostile against God. It's like a dog, and you see the sign, "Beware of dog," and you go up and the dog comes at you. That's the way the carnal mind is. It's hostile against God. "For it," this hostile mind against God, "is not subject to the law of God." The hostile mind, the carnal mind, the natural mind, will not submit itself to the Word of God. It's hostile against it. The Word says this, the carnal mind says this. The Word says obey, the carnal mind says no way, I'm going to do what I want to do. It will not submit itself unto the law of God, the Word of God. "Neither indeed can be." Neither indeed can be. Those words means that it's not able to do so. The carnal mind is not able to process. It's not able to be subject to the Word of God. It's like a pig. A pig doesn't fly. You understand? And you can't yell at the pig for not flying. You know why? Because the pig doesn't have the ability to fly. It doesn't have the ability. The carnal mind, the man of the senses, does not have the ability, does not have the ability to submit himself to the law of God. It's against his nature. You understand? This will help us when we're working with people. And we got to look past the individual. We got to look past the person. And we have to understand that this pig can't fly. So don't get mad at the pig. You understand? It's not equipped to. That's why we need Jesus Christ and to share Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the bridge that is able to bring man to receive faith so he can receive the Spirit, so then he can understand the spiritual things of life. "So they," verse 8, "that are in the flesh cannot please God." It's impossible to please God when you walk by the flesh. It's impossible. You can't do it. It's not available. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. In verse 14, we read once again, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." They're foolishness unto him. "Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Neither can he know them. Those words literally translate, he is not able. He doesn't have the ability to know them. The natural man is in a helpless condition. He's helpless. He cannot. He is not equipped to know the things of the Spirit of God. He just doesn't have the ability. He's not equipped to receive. You know, it's if you came to me and you gave me some type of algorithm and said, "Figure this out," I do not know. And in order for me to know, I would have to learn certain things to figure that out. I just don't know. Now, once a person gets born again, the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to accept and understand the things of God. Thus, they are no longer foolishness unto us, as once was the case in all of our lives. He cannot know them. Why? The Scripture says because they're spiritually discerned. The natural man does not have the Spirit of God. This places the natural man or the carnal man in a position where he cannot understand. He is separated out from the things of the Spirit of God. Look at Jude, verse 17. Jude 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These mockers, these people who walk after their own ungodly lust, be they who separate themselves. They separate themselves. It's not God's choice. You're going to heaven, you're going to hell. They made their own choice. Sensual, what? Having not the what? Spirit. That's why they're separated. Because they don't have the Spirit. They don't have the ability to understand. So what do? They mock. Why? Because it's foolish. It's foolish. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now we're still looking at the subject of spiritual warfare. And we're not going to only look at the Scriptures with regard to the doctrine of spiritual warfare. We're going to look at the practical application of understanding spiritual warfare in our everyday life. How can it help us? How can it be of a profit to us? In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, we read, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh or after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," because the carnal man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the natural man. "But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God." It's through God. That's how you do battle. As opposed to through the carnal mind, the mind of the senses. "To the pulling down of strongholds." All right. "For we walk not in the flesh, neither do we war in the flesh." Verse 3. Verse 4. "Weapons of our warfare." Weapons of our warfare. Now watch it. So we are living in a war zone, engaged in spiritual warfare. This reality has been concealed by the most part by Satan. And many others are literally in Satan's POW camps. They are in the devil's prisoner of war camps, the reality that's been concealed. Then there's others that are in Satan's POW camps. The devil is smart. Now, in real life, a prisoner of war camp would be a horrible experience. There'd be no warmth, no cold. There'd be no relief, there'd be little food, there'd be deplorable situations in which you would live and conditions, correct? However, the devil's not dumb. He does have prisoner of war camps that exist in those conditions. But he also has prisoner of war camps that exist in riches and pleasures, in wealth and in great abundance. Look at Mark chapter 4. You see, the devil has a smorgasbord. And whatever the individual will be tempted to go after on that smorgasbord, the devil will oblige them. For some, he will put them in poverty. He will beat them up. He will oppress them with sickness and disease, with economical standards. For some, he will put them in California to where everybody on the block has a $2 or $3 or $4 million house. And he gets them involved in intelligence and making the world a better place and buying a certain type of car and living the dream, so to speak, quote unquote. But all exclusive and without regard to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. They have become their own gods. They have become their own lords, their own saviors. In Mark chapter 4, verse 18, and these are they, Mark 4, 18, which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. See? It's not just a prisoner of war camp the way we would think, where one is cuffed and made to do hard labor and tortured and oppressed. That's one of the adversary's ways to keep someone in bondage. But if that doesn't work for you, the adversary will use riches. He'll use lust. He'll use pleasures of this world. He'll use the wealth of this world. He'll use drugs. He'll use alcohol. He'll use whatever he can use to keep you in one of his camps. That's the way it works. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18 talks about Timothy. And the exhortation is that you may war a good warfare. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 talks again about Timothy, that he is a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and that no man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who called him to be a what? Soldier. We heard that in manifestations. We heard that in prayer earlier. You don't get entangled. This is not a volunteer army to which you belong. You are involved in a spiritual war, whether you like it or not. I'm telling you the reality of the truth according to God. You are involved in a spiritual war, whether you like it or not. Now, you can deny that. You can refute it. You can disagree with it. You can argue about it. The reality of the fact is that everyone living on planet Earth is living in a war zone. But you can't see it, just like the invisible man. You could see the effects of the manifestation when he kicked them, when he punched them, but you couldn't see the invisible enemy. You are living in a hostile environment, regardless of what you think. Because God's word says you are. Regardless of what you think, you are living in a hostile environment. Now, if Satan can keep you blind to this reality, then he can assault you and he will remain invisible to you. You'll never know where the attack is coming from. You turn your back, and before you know it, you'll get kicked and you'll. But what happened? He blamed his partner. He blamed Bud. He said, you kicked me, right? Now, isn't that interesting? Because that's what Satan does. He kicks you, and then you know what he gets you to do? He gets you to blame somebody else that you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. That's one of his tactics. Now, how can this knowledge help us practically? How can it help us in our day-to-day life? Approximately 66% of married couples in the United States never see their 25th wedding anniversary. A marriage is a love story of two people. This is what people think. However, in light of what I just shared with you regarding the spirit realm and spiritual warfare, let me offer the following setting. the following scenario. A marriage is a love story set in the middle of a war. Most couples show up for their wedding day, and you know what they're thinking about? Love, happiness, bliss. Seldom will you interview the bride or the groom and say, what are you thinking about, and get the answer, war. Won't happen. That's not where their head is. When two people and all their baggage decide to get married, you know what you have? You have a potential for disaster. Many times, a few years into the marriage, the crap hits the fan, and then all seems to break loose. What people don't understand is that they have an invisible personal enemy who has waged war against them individually and as a couple personally, and they can't see it. And if they're a natural couple, they're not able to see it because they don't have the ability to see it. And if they're a spiritual couple who chooses to walk by the senses, the same truth holds forth. They just can't see the enemy. They can't see the source of the problem. So what do? They blame the other guy for kicking them. They blame their spouse for punching them. Blind to this truth, Satan has free run to sabotage, damage, and interfere with their lives and their marriage undetected. Satan then pits husband against wife, and before you know it, you sit down and you wonder, what happened? What happened? John 10:10 teaches us that the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. As opposed, Jesus comes that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. There's a thief, and he has come to steal, kill, and destroy you personally. And if you're involved in a marriage, in your marriage. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, take the word your out of there and put your name there. Amy's adversary, Nathan's adversary, Lynn's adversary, and it goes on and it names them. The devil. Takes all the guessing work out of it. Janet's adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Seldom do people figure it out. Why? Because the scripture says the natural man's not able to receive the things of the Spirit of God. So if you got a natural couple, or you got a couple that thinks by the senses, they're not able to figure it out. They're never, ever will figure it out. They'll never figure it out. And after he kicks you and after he punches you, you know what he'll do? He'll light a cigarette and walk away and laugh and go find somebody else to kick and punch because nobody saw him. Nobody saw him. And he left you two there to battle it out like Rock'em Sock'em Robots on top of the cake. That's what it is. Natural man is helpless. He's helpless to battle this spiritual enemy. It's like taking a 3-hour-old baby, putting him down, basting him with A1, and bringing in a Rottweiler. The baby's helpless. You understand? Or bringing in a lion. The baby's helpless. Natural man is helpless to battle a spiritual enemy. He is virtually powerless to respond to his unseen adversary. And unless he humbles himself, and unless he receives the Lord Jesus Christ, he will be completely unsuccessful in engaging the enemy. Can't do it, because he doesn't know what he's fighting. Now take a Christian couple. If they are not aware of Satan and his scheme to destroy their life, he can really wreak havoc in their lives. Or take the Christian couple that's been taught, don't mention the name Satan. We don't want to give him glory. We don't want to witness. We don't want to testify for him. Who benefits from that? Satan. So he can continue to go on undetected and wreak havoc in what? Your life. Believers are sometimes under more pressure than non-believers. Take two believers that are actively involved in their church. You know what? Sometimes they will pretend to have their acts together when things are actually falling apart in their life. Why? They need to keep up appearances. Everybody else is there. Everybody's looking at them. They come every week. Oh, they're so wonderful. They're God bless you. Like I told Ken the other week, anybody can be on their best behavior for an hour or 2 hours, you see? When we encounter so much hardship, disappointment, and failure that we can't seem to find our way out, we tend to think that it's either my fault or it's the fault of my what? Spouse. That's what we think. It's either something's wrong with me or something's wrong with her, if you're a guy. However, Scripture informs us that we live in the midst of a spiritual war. This is the worldview that the Bible teaches. If we become aware of the devil's methods, we can constantly fight for our marriages, and we can fight for one another instead of against one another. Some people do not want to acknowledge that there is a third party involved. They just don't want to fess up to that possibility. They close their eyes. They just don't want to look over there. It's so much easier to blame the other person than to recognize that there's a war going on. And in this way, they don't have to deal with that part of reality. All they have to do is deal with their spouse according to their senses. According to their senses. You see, it takes work to become one flesh according to God's Word. It takes studying God's Word. It takes a deliberate decision on your part to choose to do the right thing according to the Scriptures. It takes a deliberate decision on your part not to lean to your own understanding, not to walk by your senses, but to walk by the Scriptures. It takes a deliberate decision to change your stupid habits that you brought into this relationship from the past. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The New International render it like this: "For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." That's a little bit different. It doesn't happen as soon as you say, "I do." Anybody who's married knows that. It's a becoming thing. It takes time. It takes work. It takes effort. It takes study. It takes putting off the old, putting on the new. And you know what most people, they don't want to do that. People are lazy. They don't want to study the Word. They don't want to swallow their pride. They don't want to put on the mind of Christ. So you know what they do? They just fight. They just blame the other person. They don't want to acknowledge a spiritual war. They don't want to acknowledge that they're involved in it, whether they like it or not. It takes work to study this book. It's a thick book. Look at it. It takes diligence to make a decision to go to it daily. It's so much easier to listen to the TV or listen to a tape. It takes work and humility to say, "I'm wrong, you're right, let's do it God's way." When all your life you've been trained to say, "You're wrong," or "I'm, you know, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to deal with this now. I don't want to deal with the devil." That's what he loves to hear, that. You have a very real enemy and it is not your spouse. The devil hates believers, and the devil hates your marriage. Adam and Eve got along just fine. You know that? They got along just peachy. The problem with Adam and Eve was not each other. The problem with Adam and Eve was the devil. When Adam and Eve chose to walk by their senses rather than the word of God, trouble followed. The devil deceived them when they were living in a paradise under perfect conditions. Do you not think that he can do the same or worse with us in the world that we live in? If they were susceptible in a perfectly perfect paradise? If anyone should have been successful in their marriage, don't you think it should have been Adam and Eve? They didn't need to deal with the sin nature. They had no sin nature. They didn't need to deal with the old man. They weren't wounded going into their marriage. They weren't taught wrong going into their marriage. They did not come from a broken home or an abusive home going into their marriage. And yet, with all of that perfection, and in the environment in which they were set, a perfect environment, the devil was able to get them to sin. Amen? Satan is very adept at getting us to blame someone else or something else for our failure. Satan is very adept at getting us to blame someone or something else for our failure. Genesis 3, listen to verse 9. And the Lord called unto Adam, "Where you at, Adam?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said unto him, "Who told you you were naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you shouldn't eat of?" And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did what? What did the devil do? He got him to blame who? Eve. That's what he did. We think the devil's doing today in your marriages. He's getting you to blame your spouse because you don't want to take the time to bring your mind back to the scriptures and realize you live in a hostile environment. And the adversary's walking around, kicking people, punching people, and smoking a cigarette, laughing his good old head off because he's virtually undetected in our day and in our time. When we ignore or are ignorant of the spirit realm and its effect on our lives, we place ourselves in a very vulnerable position. Satan does not want to be exposed. He is very good at pulling the wool over our eyes, so to speak. Do not make the internal choice and agree with the lie that marriage is just too much work, that it's just not worth it. Because those words are from the adversary. A biblical marriage is not about happiness. A biblical marriage is about transformation, according to the scriptures. And when transformation comes according to God's word, then true happiness follows. It's the outworking of transformation. Until you deal with your brokenness and your personal sins, you can never really be happy. You must learn to put aside your way of thinking and choose God's way. You live in an active war zone. Years do not age a person. Years do not age a person. You know what ages a person? Sin. That's what ages a person. All right? Now, I got your ears. I got your attention. Spiritual warfare. War zone. Hostile environment. This is where we're at. Okay? Now, how's that apply to where you work? Things that are happening in work. Is it just Billy and Susie, or is there something more going on behind the scenes that you don't want to think about, or that you just space out and don't think about? And Billy and Susie take the brunt of what the adversary is doing because he's the one that's kicking you. How's that work in school with our children? I got kids in school, you understand? I know about it. I know about the pressures. I know that my children are singled out at times where other children are not singled out because they love God. So how do you respond to these situations when you're singled out in school, when you're pressured in school? And there's going to come a time when you're going to be pressured in school. You're going to be pressured with sex. You're going to be pressured with drugs. You're going to be pressured with drinking. Don't tell me you're not. And don't tell me about no private or Catholic schools either, because if you study them, they got more problems than the public school sometimes. You're going to be pressured. So where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Who are you going to call? No, you ain't going to call him. You understand? It's a spiritual war. You're involved. The adversary is coming at you. He's attacking you. How are you going to respond? How about at home? What's your house like? Is it clean? Is it cluttered? Is it you fighting and bickering and hounding each other as soon as you come to a house that's supposed to be peaceful? Who's causing that? Who's kicking you and then walking away and you're blaming your spouse, or you're blaming the kids, or the kids are blaming the mom? What's going on in your home that your eyes have not had the salve of God's word put on so you can see clearly? Or are you just going to go the rest of your life and blame the senses? See? Or are you going to go in your mind, oh, yeah, right, everything's spirit. Oh, yeah, right. Well, you can go there. That's okay. Live your life in light of that, and that's okay. And let the devil smoke his cigarette as he kicks you and kicks the crap out of you and your family. And that's okay, because you freaking know everything. Because you're so smart. He's on his spiritual warfare thing. He's on his spiritual... Right, that's right. Listen to those stupid demons telling you that crap in your head. Just listen to them and let them ruin your life. Or you know what you'll do? You'll sit there and you'll smile because you don't want anybody to see that your life is ruined. And you'll spite yourself and you'll live in prison and you'll live in a facade just so you can say, see, I'm still here. You want to know what? Get real. That's not life. That's not happiness. That's not freedom. Why don't you just face the reality of what the Bible teaches? And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what it says. I choose to believe God. Now, you can say whatever you want to say, and you go ahead. And if you want to side with the devil, don't blame God when you get your butt kicked. God has given us his word. Jesus Christ has come so he can expose the workings of the enemy. Why would not we take this upon ourselves and utilize them in our life, in our marriage? We got to be foolish if we don't. About the friends you choose to make. Are they friends that the devil send into your life just to pull you away from the scriptures? Or are they godly friends? It's a spiritual warfare. So he sends a little spy in, and the little spy's cute, and she wiggles cute. But you want to know something? Maybe she's got a dagger in her pocket. It doesn't mean you can't have friends. It doesn't mean that you got to be, I'm going to go live over here in a snow globe where no one can touch me. That's a bunch of crap. That means you be smart, and you make sure that you do the right things with your friends. How about church? The adversary can't infiltrate church, can't infiltrate the relationships between one another in here. And we just let it go on, and we ignore it, and we just dismiss it as, oh, that's him or that's her. TV. What do you watch on TV? How's that affecting your mind? Super Nanny? Let me tell you about Super Nanny. Super Nanny's doing as much damage to our generation as Dr. whoever his name was back when. What's his name? Spock. She's doing as much damage to our generation as he did. I watched that this week, and if you want to get a good lesson in the spirit realm about children being demonized, watch Super Nanny. Want to watch a husband and wife demonized? Watch Super Nanny. You know what the child said this week? I win, I win, I win, I always win. Don't touch a child. Don't touch it. Just keep sending her back to bed. Keep sending her back to bed. Keep sending her. I just fix that child in about 2 seconds with my belt. I'll guarantee you. It's crap. Your computer. You're in a war. You know they used to drop pamphlets? The war's over. You lost. You might as well give up. Well, he does the same thing with your computer. He comes at you through the media of the computer in your mind. He bombards you. You'll never get a job. You'll always be a failure. Go over to the pornography site and just mindlessly just stay there and be in happiness for a while, etc., etc., etc. What you read, the family relationships you hold, and I'm going to really ruffle your feathers on this one, Facebook. Let me tell you about Facebook. If you have a Facebook and you're blessed with your Facebook, then God bless you and don't listen to what I'm going to say. But as far as I'm concerned and from what I've seen about Facebook, Facebook is an open conduit for the whole world to come into your life and dump whatever they want to dump on your Facebook there so that you are confronted with it like this. Facebook is a conduit to take people that you haven't seen in 10, 20 years ago from your old previous lives where you walked in sin and trespasses, dead and sin and trespasses, like the scripture says, all of us, and those people didn't get born again, and they're still dead in trespasses and sin, and now they're reconnecting with you who's supposed to be a new spiritual being, and you know what they're bringing into your life? Your past. All the crap you used to be involved in, and that's going to well up inside you, and it's going to pull you back because the adversary, because it's a spiritual war. It's a spiritual war. That's what your Facebooks do for yous. It ain't a Christian network. That's what your Facebooks do for yous. Now, if you can handle your Facebook, I'm not telling you one way or another. I could care less. I don't have one. My wife don't have one. That's all I got a right to say at this point, and my child don't have one because she's under 18. Okay? But if you get on this crap Facebook, as far as I'm concerned, you know what? If there's an exception, God bless you. From what I've seen and the people I've dealt with and the things I've seen on these smuck Facebook things, it's junk. It's junk because they don't realize. Here, devil, here I am. You want to know something? I don't want the people from 30 years ago in my life unless they want to hear the word because they got nothing to offer to me. You know, I had my fill of drinking and smoking and stealing, and I don't want, what are they going to give me? So I'm going to invite them back, like I'm missing something, like I want to relive a part of my childhood that I didn't experience? I don't think so. Why would you want that? I don't know. Go to Romans, we'll close there, chapter 8. And why? Because we don't understand we live in spiritual warfare. We don't understand we live in a hostile territory. The adversary runs the kingdoms of the world, you understand? And he will do anything he can to destroy us. He will go and fight against our families. He will fight against our children. You get a married couple, it's bad enough, right? Throw a couple, three kids into the mix. Then what do you think you got? He's constantly fighting to destroy your marriage. He hates the family. He hates the union of man and woman. He hated it so much. Look what he did in Genesis. And like I told you, if anyone should have succeeded, if anyone had everything that they had to make it work, it was Adam and Eve. And they blew it. And they didn't blow it because Eve was cheating on Adam. They got along fine. He blew it because there was a third party involved. And they stopped thinking spiritually. They stopped thinking about that third party involved. and they start thought there was only two parties involved, and they blamed one another, and what happened? Romans 8. So listen, when you leave here today, you leave with this worldview. You live in a hostile environment. You are behind enemy lines. You are engaged in a spiritual war, whether you like it or not, unless you want to call God a liar. Does anybody want to call God a liar? This is the worldview that the Bible teaches. Now, you can choose to ignore it, and that's okay. You can ignore it. But when things start to go wrong, or things aren't quite right, or things stay right for a lifetime, like those people that live in Hollywood, they never seem to get tempted. They never seem to have money problems. They never seem to have women problems. Their families are just like the Partridge family or like the Brady Bunch. Let me tell you something about the Brady Bunch family. I've seen clergy with Brady Bunch children. You want to know something? That ain't true. That's a lie. When you see a clergyman with Brady Bunch children, you can guarantee those kids got horns. Guaranteed. I'm not talking about well-behaved children. I'm talking about pristine, perfect. Here, let's put us up on the platform and let's look at us as the example, not Christ. That's the kind I'm talking about. Those kids and those parents have just as many problems, just as many sicknesses, just as many opportunities as anybody else. And to put somebody up like that and present them like that is a facade, it's ego, it's pride, and it's sin. That's why I never talked to you, I never told you that my children are perfect, because they're not. But as long as they love God and keep coming back to God, God can deal with them. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But you got to understand, we live in a spiritual war, and you got to start thinking spiritually. And when things start going on in your life and you can't put your finger on them, maybe you ought to think, what's going on spiritually that I'm not getting this need met? And stop walking in the power of your own might and doing warfare by carnal means, and start putting on the armor of God and doing warfare by the full armor of God. Then maybe you'll start to get some answers. You see? But if you don't take your mind and say, yes, I will to believe this, I will to believe the scriptures, I'm going to decide to walk as a spiritual man or spiritual woman instead of walking by my senses, it's not going to happen for you, and you'll never see it. Your marriage will be attacked. Your children will be attacked. Your dog will be attacked. Yeah. Your house, everything. And it'll be just like in the film. It'll kick you, and you'll turn around and you'll blame your spouse. And he'll kick you again, and you'll blame your spouse. And then he'll walk away smoking a cigarette, and you know what? He'll go over to the Gerhardt's house next. And when he's done there, he'll go over to the Ray's. And when he's done there, he'll go to the Pinchock's. And you don't have to get in the car. He'll just show up on the doorstep. Why is that? Job says that Satan said to God, I'm roaming through the earth. I'm going back and forth in it. He's got nothing better to do. That's what he does. He roams through the earth. He goes back and forth. Peter tells us he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's whose enemy? He's your enemy. When are you going to believe this? You understand? This just can't be words. When are you going to believe it and start acting on it? Or are you going to let the adversary keep kicking you and you're going to blame your spouse or somebody else for what's happening? Romans chapter 8 sums it all up. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what? That's the word he chose to use. It's death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life. And what kind of a life? A peaceful life. Doesn't say it's going to be easy. Doesn't say it's not going to take some work. It doesn't say that it's not going to take swallowing some of your foolish pride in certain areas. But if you want to be a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, you have to put the time in, the love in, the effort in, and the prayer in to become a spiritual man and spiritual woman. Nobody walks up to you and stamps you like when you walk in Chuck E. Cheese that you can get in. Now you're spiritual. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes faithfulness. And then and only then you become a spiritual man or woman. When you act upon it. It's when you act upon it. See, because all the knowledge and knowing all the answers isn't worth a hill of beans unless you act upon it. And that takes a deliberate decision of your will. So next time you're involved in a situation where your spouse is giving you a hard time, or your kids are giving you a hard time, or your job's giving you a hard time, or your schoolmates are giving you a hard time, or the computer is giving you a hard time, or super nanny's telling you something stupid to do with your kids, why don't you just step back and say, okay, what does the Word say? What am I missing here? I said to my wife just the other day, what happened? What happened? Where did I lose control here? And then we sat down and we worked through the situation. I said, because I don't want this to happen again. This is where I went wrong. This is where you went wrong. This is where I went wrong. Okay, let's fix this so it doesn't happen again, because the enemy was able to get in. And that's what I did. What happened here? And then we just figured it out. Took maybe 4 minutes. Okay, bang. Let's nail that shut so it doesn't get in. We'll try somewhere else. But that's the way you got to start thinking. Start thinking that way. Because the Bible says we live in a spiritual war. Your marriage is set in this spiritual war. Your home is on spiritual warfare, war property. It's on the front lines. You understand? Your job is on the front lines. Your children are on. That's where we are. That's the nature of the war. That's the nature of the beast. Don't be afraid. We have the victory. We're quite capable. We have enough armor to do the battle and be victorious. But we got to do it God's way, and that's where we got to think. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you, Father, that we can take our minds and bring our minds back to the truth of your word. And that regardless of where we've been, even up until we walked in this morning, Father, that we can count that in the past, that we can begin to think anew, and we can begin to think spiritual thoughts and react in a spiritual way. Thank you, Father, for each person who makes a decision to endeavor to do this. I ask that you would reveal the adversary in their marriage, in their children, in their homes, in their finances, in every aspect of life, because they are making a decision to seek him out, get him out because he doesn't belong there, and to act and think as spiritual men and women. We thank you for this victory, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.